that I have missed. It is so good to prepare to preach and to look at these faces that I love. Preaching to a camera is seriously weird, let me tell you. It is so good to be together, knowing that a great deal has changed for everybody in the last few months. One of the things that we are going to be doing in the coming weeks is prioritising our kids. It is really important that children are reared in the faith, not only by their parents, but by the community around them. We feel that that is really important in the coming months, that we play catch up, because these kids belong to their families, but they belong to God's family here. We also feel that it's really important that we prioritise praying for one another in person. We've done a lot of it on the phone, we've done a lot of it on Skype, on Zoom, but it's really important that we are able to catch up with one another and to pray about the many changes that have happened. Because we have to be out of here in 2 hours, we are allowed to gather for 2 hours. We are working, and I'm going to have to preach to a tight time frame. We are working at having 1 hour of formal service and the next hour given over to that catching up. Because of the restrictions, any family that's had sickness in the last fortnight can't be here. So we're going to be kind of playing tag team, I suspect, through winter time. Because 2 weeks without one of 5 or 6 people becoming ill with a cold or a sniffly nose is kind of hard to organise. So it's going to be a long process, but I expect that we're going to hear some exciting things too. We're going to be having a different family or a different person each week share with us about what has come for them out of coronavirus. The good, the bad and the ugly. There have been losses. I think everybody's experienced losses. But there have been some major resets as well. Let's not waste a crisis. Let's share what we have learnt about being the people of God in this time. And now to my story. I have a story for my sermon this morning, so just give me a moment, let me pray, and then I'm going to tell it. Lord Jesus, you are here present to us in a special way as we gather together. We ask that your eyes will reveal that glory to us this week and in the weeks to come. And I pray now for this story, that you will prepare us to receive your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. It is the strangest of times. So what else can I do but go back to what I know? It's all gone. And I've failed. No matter what this strange ghost says to us, I know it and he knows it. I failed the test. But I think he did too. Everything we learnt from him is smashed, broken. I feel no peace, no safety, and no power. And there can be no forgiveness. I failed my test repeatedly. It doesn't matter how much I want to believe. Maybe the others have a chance, but not me. It's too late. I don't have a future. Not like I thought. And not like he promised. But I do have a past. I have something I can do, and I need to get on with my life, do what I know, earn a living, support my family. The others come with me. We all go back to what we know, to the certainties of work, to the boat and our nets. We push out in the evening, returning to the places we know, the good fishing spots, and we cast and cast and cast our nets. Do you know what we catch? Absolutely nothing. Not even one fish. As the sun rises, we sit in an empty boat, seven men with not even one fish to show for the night. Out on a quiet corner of the lake, we see a man standing by a fire. We're close to him, about 100 yards. He calls out to us, "Haven't you caught anything worth eating? Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find something." Just what we need, advice from a man on dry land. But we are still out here on the boat. Boat, nets, men, no fish. So we do what he suggests, casting our net on the right side of the boat. Almost immediately, it tugs and moves and gets heavy in minutes. We pull and find the weight more than the seven of us can lift. Our nets will break soon. Maybe we can drag them in. John isn't helping. He isn't watching or looking, doing nothing. He's focused on the man by the fire. "It's the master," he shouts. He's here again. What does he want? I give up. I give up on fishing. I give up on hiding from him. Grab my clothes and swim toward him. I don't know why, or even what I expect. Anything has to be better than my shame, than hiding from him. Everyone follows me, dragging the full net behind them. It's full of 153 large fish, enough to feed the whole village. But he doesn't need our fish. He already has fish cooking on his fire, inviting us to join him for breakfast. He breaks the bread and gives it to us. And the same with the fish. We've seen this before. We know it's Jesus. The same, but different. Changed, but still Jesus. For once, I stay quiet, listening and watching, my big mouth closed. When we finish eating, he turns to me, asking, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He knows that I do. But I answer him, shame filling me as I remember that night. If only he would forgive me for my betrayal. But he doesn't say he forgives me. Instead, he tells me, "Feed my lambs." Then he lets it go, talks to us all. Soon, he turns to me again. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I do." "Then take care of my sheep." But he isn't done. One more time, he looks at me. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" It hurts. He knows that I love him, not very well, but I love him more than anything else in the world. I sigh. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." I've failed, and I know, and he knows. So what does he want? He looks at me, really looks at me, and he speaks again, "Feed my sheep." He means it. He trusts me to care for others. He gives me work to do. But he warns me I won't be powerful. I tell you that when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. But follow me. I don't know what he means yet. But where else can I go? Only he can give me life. And only he can work with me as I am. Forgiveness? Yes, he does forgive me. I have a hope and a future. And it will be full of Jesus. If I will just follow him into the great unknown. Amen.